Well, from time to time, we've been talking about eschatology and about the return of Christ. Where are we going? Well, I'm going to have you turn to Revelation chapter 21, and we'll actually see the place that we're going to end up. It's called heaven. You might have heard of it. This is a very unique passage because of the fact that it actually describes certain things about heaven. So much we do not know. Paul tells us that he was actually caught up into the third heaven and came back to say something about it. Of course, as we know, according to the passage in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, that he was not allowed to talk of the things that he saw because of the fact that God was going to use him to proclaim the message of humility, which would bring people to salvation, not that which would actually convey exaltation. If in fact you talked about great things and marvelous things, and that's the reason you went to heaven, you would go for the wrong reasons. You wouldn't understand that God chooses the weak and the foolish things. God is looking for those that are humble of heart. And unless you come as a child, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. So God would not let him go into detail. However, John writes the details, and probably one of the reasons is what we understand is John, at a very late age, probably in his late 90s, close to 100, writes the book of Revelation while he's on the Isle of Patmos. And he's in a kind of prison, as it were. Imagine being that old and being in prison. And they say that there was a great quarry there, so the prisoners would have to break rock. So I don't know how that worked with him being so old. Nevertheless, it was at this point that God wanted him to see heaven. And as he writes the book of Revelation, he begins to explain in great detail, as the Spirit of God reveals to him, what it looks like. The great thing about the passages is that it tells us things like there'll be no more sorrow. And if you look with me in Revelation chapter 21, it says in verse 4, he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. Well, I'm really happy about that. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. How wonderful that is. He describes the city in a magnificent way, and we understand that the city itself is 1,500 miles cubed. He speaks of that in the passage. We won't go into the details of that. But he talks about the measurements of the city. And I just want you to see in chapter 21, in particular, in verse 17, he says, and he measured its walls, and it was 72 yards, or more specifically, 144 cubits is probably more the text. If we were to take the Greek text, it would actually say 144 cubits. Now, why cubits? And the answer is because that's the measure of man. A cubit was from one tip of the tip of the finger to the elbow. And so in many respects, it was different, depending on you being tall or short or how long your arm was. Your cubit might be different than my cubit. And there is a reason for that. Same thing with hand breaths, the breadth of your hand. They would make those to be the smaller measurements. But you would use your body to measure. The passage reads in verse 17, and he measured this walled 144 cubits according to, look at the passage, human measurements. Now we're talking about heaven. According to human measurements. John chapter 14, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. Measured just for you. You realize that heaven was made for us. This city was made for us. To be with him. I'll tell you probably one of the most unimaginable things to me is that we'd be in the presence of God. The Bible tells us in chapter 21 here that there's not going to be any need of sun because he will radiate from the city. And there will be a new earth. It actually states that if you look at the beginning of this in Revelation 21 verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea, that is, any division place that you wouldn't be able to reach anybody. Oftentimes, Saul's sea is that which was tumultuous and that which was easily moved by other forces, but no longer. And I saw a holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for a husband. The word that you see repeated is new. See that? New heaven, new earth, New Jerusalem. That is not the Greek word neos, which would mean chronologically new. That is a word within the text that actually refers to an unprecedented superiority. In other words, when he's talking about new, he's talking about something that you've never seen before. I told my kids one time, I said, someday you're going to see a real tree. We would call it new. But what we mean by that is a superior tree, a tree that's perfect. And someday you're going to see real water. And someday you're going to see, I mean, think about all the things that are shadows on this earth that we're going to see the perfection of it in heaven. In fact, one of the statements that Paul makes when he says, I was caught up in a third heaven, he says, and I was in paradise. That literally translated is a manicured forest. As it were, the Garden of Eden type thing. How magnificent that's going to be. How wonderful that's going to be. Jesus will say to the man next to him on the cross, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Paul will write in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, set your affections on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Oh, that's where we long to be. And why do we long to be there? Well, I purposely held back this text. Read verse 3 with me. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, the dwelling of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with us. Think about that. I mean, I read in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah sees the grandeur of God, and he's just so taken back, he's speechless. And I read in Ezekiel chapter 1, and we literally see what the Jews call the chariot of God. You know, I like fast cars, but that's going to be magnificent to see the chariot of God. How wonderful and marvelous that is. And it shows a wheel within a wheel, and the angelic being shooting around like lightning bolts. I mean, what an amazing event that's going to be in the presence of the Creator of all things. The very one that says in Isaiah, all the nations are as nothing before me. They are less than nothing. He speaks a word and the heavens and the stars come into being. This is the one that we're actually going to live with. Oh man, I'm going to have a lot of questions. And I'm going to hear a wonderful thing. I will just never want to leave his presence, will we? I'm encouraged by that, but I'm encouraged by this one verse found in Psalm 116:15. The verse reads, precious in the sight of God is the death of his godly ones. I like that phrase, precious in the sight of God. You know what God is saying? From my point of view, this is a good day because they're home with me. And how wonderful that is to be with God. Father, we give you thanks for your loving kindness to us and for your presence and for the fact that you want to dwell with us. You want to live with us. You want to be with us forever. I'm not sure I'd want to be with me forever, but you do. And we give you thanks for this in your name. Amen.